deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 73 of Flashpoint, recorded Sunday, February 23rd. I'm your host, David Holloway, and with me are two co-hosts who demonstrate that life throws up variety in so many ways. Simon, how are you going?
I just find life throws up.
Yeah, that's a very, very valid point. See, I don't know how I segue that to Christy without associating you with vomit, Christy. So, but anyway, how are you going?
Oh, I feel very special right now.
And just,
is it the voice? It's the voice, isn't it?
It's the voice. And just to, you know, look behind the curtain yet again, I always feel bad as I read through that part of the running sheet why I go to Simon always first. It's just because it's what the running sheet says. So I promise for next one I'll say, hi, how are you going, Christy, first?
Oh, God, no, don't do that because Simon always has a witty retort and I'm always
true.
Like, what? So, no, keep it
that way. Leave it as is. All right. See, this is what gets us the big audience. And while I think of it too, a big thanks to Joe Foran for his guest co-hosting last fortnight. It was lovely to have him on board.
Woo!
Yay! It was much fun.
Yes. And it was indeed. And I don't know whether it's a result of Joe, but we can say it is, we've got lots of, two feedback pieces this week to discuss. So that's a bit special for us.
Quadrillion more than we usually get.
Oh, it's a massive uplift from zero. So this episode will obviously cover Star Wars The Old Republic, plus some other stuff. we're going to cover the feedback emails and we're going to talk a little bit of Elder Scrolls Online, WildStar, EVE Online. So yeah, we've got a bit to get through. But before that, let's catch up on some Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic news.
The last fortnight's been a bit of a slow one in Star Wars The Old Republic land. 2.6 is obviously bedded down, or 2.6A. And I believe my two venerable co-hosts have been ensconced in other games, so you guys haven't played any at this stage, have you, over the last fortnight? Yeah,
Christy, so ladies first.
I was going to say, I would be whistling innocently, but I can't whistle, so...
No, that makes two.
You just got to picture my whistling.
Excellent. Well...
I haven't. I haven't even had time to make a token effort because the weekend before last was totally occupied by The Elder Scrolls and the... weekend past was Wildfire, Wild Turkey, Wild Star. I always seem to get cock the name up for some reason.
Fire
it's two
Star.
Syllables, but I screw it up. And this weekend, I've been busy upgrading my PS4 hard drive, which has turned into an all-consuming pursuit, and it's worth it. Yes. But other than that, no, not really.
All right, excellent. So... Well, it's a sad indictment that, again, I'm the only person that can say I played. And I've actually put in some decent hours. So, I'll get onto that in a minute. Actually, we'll talk about the news and then I'll get onto my bitch about Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so 2.7 we covered briefly last time as far as the pretty lame producer's note that came out alluding to the year's roadmap or the first half year's roadmap. So there's not a lot more that I've seen around the place about 2.7. So it doesn't get a lot more exciting than the fact that they're offering a free speeder to subscribers, which, just to quote the running sheet, stupid mount free to subs. Any thoughts on it, Simon? And I mean, I've had a look at it. I mean, I must admit, it's pretty bloody ugly. It's
well,
pretty green.
On the plus side, it's in green and gold. So if you're Brazilian or Australian, it's patriotic. But the thing I don't like about it, and where I start to wonder if the old Republic is heading into high kitsch territory, is the fact that when you get on it, there's a chance that it will shit coins.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was just reading that. It's like holographic coin? What?
I.e. useless. But this, as far as I'm concerned, is right up with there with the lawnmower with the fairy lights that we had for the first life day.
Yeah.
So not impressed. I'm actually thinking about unsubbing for the period for the month of March, which you have to be subbed in. You have to be subbed during to qualify for the mount. I'm actually thinking of unsubbing for that period so I don't get this, because I got enough crap in the game. I don't need this shit.
It's taking you around. I mean, it's called the Lucky 77 Swoop, and I'm a bit slow, so I've only just clicked that the 7 is obviously the similar symbol to what a credit looks like in Star Wars Overplay. It's got that same logo on the green wing of the stupid thing.
I was going for 77 being the year that the first Star Wars movie was.
Well, it could be
out.
That too, but it's also got that credit. It looks like a credit.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's
but you're right, it could be the 77, yeah.
But
it reminds me of Mario Kart, because I was just tracking my brain. It's Mario Kart where you smash into things and coins come. Is it coins? I'm sure in the PvP aspect of Mario Kart, the battles, I'm sure coins is one of them that you can pick up when you bash into each other. So that's pretty pathetic. And also the guy on the speeder looks like Gene Simmons, just by the way, with the face paint on. So sorry, Simon, I keep talking over you.
No, that's fine, because it's truncating a rant, probably.
No, rants are good.
But it's when they offer things like this to subscribers, I can't help feeling like they're taking the piss, quite frankly.
Yes.
Not to mention that you only get one, which is actually probably more a blessing than a curse. But, yeah, the thing is that it's... You got to subscribe by March the 17th, and the weekend before March the 17th is the double XP weekend. So I was actually going to subscribe like the week before. So I'm going to get one of these. Like,
that's a good point. I have no option but to stay subbed. I'm just going to have to try and put this in the darkest, deepest recess of my ship I can find.
Just log into that alt that you never ever use and you've created for whatever strange purposes when you were drunk that Friday night.
Every alt's going to get it. I just wish they gave us the option of getting the speeder or a piece of shit that follows you around as a pet. Because I take the roaming piece of shit over this thing.
Simon, unless it's a taunt next episode title. Roaming piece of shit, Flashpoint 73.
I'm trying to work out how this is meant to be an incentive, really.
It's not.
No.
It's actually, maybe it's just me. I just find it vaguely insulting. Maybe they thought it was cute and kind of funny and a bit tongue-in-cheek. It's not. You're a sub, you get something that shits holographic coins, i.e. worthless currency. What is that saying about how they value our subscription? Is that we get an ugly mount that craps fake money.
The chance to
crap fake money. It doesn't even do it consistently.
It doesn't say whether or not you get a pilot license with it. So,
all right, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Go for it.
The only place I can see it would work is the place in which the picture is shown, in that he's speeding around Nar Shaddaa, although it's totally inaccurate in that you can't jump on a speeder and it looks like he's flying through the middle of the air. So that's bullshit for starters. But the fact it's got Nar Shaddaa in the background, you know, sinful place, lots of gambling dens and all that stuff, you could sort of warrant it there. But if you're driving that bastard around Hoth, it looks absolutely pathetic.
I'm going to stick with my Tauntaun, which is the best mount in the game. Bring us more of that. Tauntauns yeah. everywhere. I'll subscribe again just for the Tauntauns.
Although I'll ride a lawnmower with Christmas lights if I can do what in that picture. If I could explore the you know the Nar Shaddaa's and Coruscant's and that where you can actually zoom around all the routes out in the open air, I would think that was cool. Not that that's ever going to happen.
Yeah.
But you're right, it's tacky shit.
It's.
I just love how positive we are on this podcast.
Look, I'm more than happy to be positive about things, but when they offer you a shit sandwich at the cocktail party, I'm going, really is this what you what possessed you to think this was a good idea?
And again, if not that I'd ever do it, but even if the ridiculous coin animation, if you know once in every 100 times it chucked out even 10 cartel coins, I'd probably ride the stupid thing just for the small chance of got some cartel coins.
Actually, yes. I would think far more highly of this if it did that.
Yeah. And
it's, you know, it's the chance that it spits out phantom money. I mean, this thing's, and this is an obscure reference, so I apologize, but this thing's one step away from the Venga bus.
For those of you that don't know about the Venga bus, just go to YouTube and type in Venga bus, and it'll all make sense.
And now I'm going to have that song stuck in my head. Thank you,
Simon. Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome.
So I think that's, as I said at the start, it's a damning indictment that that's the key news that I could find for Star Wars The Old Republic over the last fortnight. On to my bitch. I said I've been doing a lot of playing, mainly on my level 55 Consular, because I'm obsessed about finishing the macro binocular quest. Now, some of our more seasoned and veteran players will roll their eyes when I go through this, but I've only just discovered it. That obviously with the macro binocular quest,
What? What?
What? Yeah, see, I'm with you.
I'm the proxy. Proxy. Okay, good. Go for it.
The key, 99% of the quest is to go around all the different planets. You've got to go to particular spots on each of the planet and use your macro binocular quest, your macro binoculars to find the little transmission aerials. So that's fine, and I've used it as a great opportunity to knock up some achievements, you know, clearing particular types of species and all that sort of stuff. So I've enjoyed the hell out of it. The very last part of the quest is in Nar Shaddaa. You do a whole bunch more of finding antennas, the three I think it is. And then the very last part of the quest, after all those hours of totally solo focus quest, to finish the macro binocular quest, you have to do a heroic 4 group mission. Now, it's laughable because now I'm aware that I'm a bit on the isolationist side and I still need to get off my ass and join the Utini Guild. And I can understand if you're in a guild that it's no great biggie. You just put a call out to the guildies and say, hey, I need 3 more to come and help me knock off this quest. But as a solo player, it's a nightmare because Nar Shaddaa's, I think from memory, level roughly 20 to 25. Or maybe it's not, it may be even lower than that. But and so I'm, you know, spamming general chat saying, anyone want to do the Dark Designs quest? Well, no one else is on planet unless you got lucky enough to get some other loser that's sitting around hoping to do the stupid thing. So you can't complete the quest line unless you join a guild.
You could always have asked one of us, you know.
Yeah, but why is it we're never on the same server at the same time?
I don't know. What server are you on?
I'm on Harbinger.
Yeah, well, I've been.
You're an Imperial, whereas I'm a Republic.
Oh, I forgot you're a pube. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Sorry, so that's why we probably never see each other.
I prefer pub, by the way. As she takes another sip of light wine.
I know what I said, and I'm sticking with it.
So, yeah, anyway, that's just it's just one of those shitty quest design things that you go, what were they thinking to have a absolutely solo pursuit of going around all those planets? Because once you're level 55, it's easy to go around all the planets. It's not hard, but you've got to do it. And then, I know, we're going to have a heroic four on at the end. Good luck with that.
A call out, though, to all the awesome girls out there who actually know about this stuff and plan ahead, and so we'll actually create play dates around it so that people can actually come on and do them.
Yeah, exactly.
I rarely see it happen, though, outside of, say, Eve, but some do, which is nice. Like, WoW actually had a few where guilds would have, like, say, old dungeon day or whatever. Guilds need to be more organized and have more organized play dates.
Yes, agreed.
And it is a bit emblematic of the game in general. When you think about it, it's, I think most people would agree, it's one of the best solo player multiplayer games out there.
Yes.
I was going to say, whenever I hear anything about Star Wars, the first thing I hear out of anyone's mouth is the storyline, which is all single anyway, and which majority of most people, when leveling, don't play with other people anyway. So,
Well, you don't need to. That's
the thing. No, exactly. It's not hard. Well, unless
you get into bad habits.
Yeah.
Especially if you're socially awkward, and no one on the internet's socially awkward.
No, not at all.
So, there's that.
I'm a social butterfly.
I'm more a social moth. that's just shit. I mean, if the Lucky 77 speeder was usable in that last quest and, you know, the four droids could choke to death on those coins, I'll ride the damn thing. But until they fix it, I won't be completing that quest, or I might have to join a guild. I don't know.
I'd ride that thing if it was available for swoop racing.
Yeah, well, yes. That's more around Nar Shaddaa. Only.
Well, all the racetracks on Taris are kind of trashed, so limited options.
Now, I've just realised too, with 2.7, it's end of the Smash Monkey, Simon.
Yes?
What's the Smash Monkey?
The Juggernaut.
Oh, really? As in the special like for the class?
Well, there's the Smash spec, and 2.7 is going to see some fair, and I am no expert on this. If you're listening to this and you want insightful, detailed, spreadsheet kind of information, go to Utinicast.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're looking for sort of general half-drunk blather, you're on the right channel here. Yeah, that's us right now. But yeah, I think that's the thing I've from the general scuttlebutt is the nerfing of the Smash spec for the Juggernaut. So that's going to be interesting. There's fair to say, I think there's a few of the OPs getting nerfed this time around. And boy, anyone else feel like it's a sort of WoW deja vu here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With the balance and stuff. Absolutely. Yeah.
Paladins, maybe.
Don't talk to me about the pallies. But but yeah, it is looking a bit. It is feeling a bit old school in that regard. Having said that, the jugs really did need to sort of get smoothed out a little bit, because there's been a few other classes that have had this done to them, and the Smash Speckers survived for quite a long time untouched, and now it's being touched, some might say, inappropriately.
See, I just want to butt in here, and you've talked about pubes, jugs, and touched inappropriately.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say, I've changed the episode. I've gone off roaming piece of shit because it doesn't like profanity on iTunes, so I've just gone with jugs and pubes. There's the label for episode 73.
Oh, classy.
We're going classy. For a more sexy podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Why, hello.
Sexy, yeah.
Oh, but just be aware, when we're talking about jugs and pubes, we're talking about mine.
Oh, I need a bucket really badly.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
So we're going to have to create a drinking game out of this podcast, I think.
Absolutely. So sorry, Simon, I interrupted you.
Well, no, I paused and then you jumped in with a diatribe. So, there's that. I have no idea where I was going.
My work here is done.
Your work is complete.
No, No, you're talking about.
I think that pretty well summarised it. That's really the. I think that's the big news of 2.7. I mean, people who play other classes are going to go, but you didn't talk about blah blah blah. No, yeah. I didn't. So, just deal with it. Things are being changed. Your class is being buffed, nerfed, left alone. Welcome to an MMO.
That's right.
This is par for the course.
Yeah, if you're new to this stuff, you haven't been around MMOs long, that's for sure.
That is very true. But, it's actually kind of – I'm actually finding it kind of reassuring that we've settled – that the game's settled into this point where we start talking about buffs, classes being buffed and nerfed. This is okay. It's WoW territory, but still, it's the kind of talk you expect when an MMO starts reaching a certain level of maturity. And I think we're there. Crappy subscriber benefits aside, I think this is a good sign. In all honesty,
yeah.
Well, agreed. In BioWare's defense, I don't think WoW has ever actually given a subscriber bonus since everyone subscribes anyway. So,
yeah,
I'm not sure where I was going with that, actually.
No, it'd be interesting to see if they do. As I mean, I know you can play for free. I forgot now what level. Is it level 20?
20, yeah. That being said as well, is there, they used to give out birthday presents. It used to be a non-combat pet, but now they actually just give you out an XP boost. It's pretty lame.
Mm.
Oh, and I prefer a pet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I actually, because pets are cross-count now, you know, I bring out my little blizzard, little polar bear, cute little cub. It's gorgeous. And it's like, oh, I logged in like 5 years ago to get this.
And I'm just trying to think, sorry, just to go back to the speeder thing. I'm trying to think of a totally awful mount in WoW that had everyone up in arms. I can't think of one off the top of my head. I mean, there was that horse that was see-through and...
The Sparkle Pony? Sparkle Pony, but that only because of it was a cash store thing. That wasn't the actual mount that pissed people off.
With the magic focus of WoW and stuff, you can even put up with that. Yeah, I can't think of anything.
I was going to say the latest one is a two-headed wyvern with rocket booster side pack thingies.
Okay, we're with the gnome. Yeah, okay. See, that even sort of fits. They've got a bit more class with...
Yeah. It's weird. I don't really like it, but Michael liked it, so that was my Valentine's Day gift to him.
Nice.
And thank you, Blizzard Support, for your wonderful service in getting it to him.
Good work. All right.
Yeah, and you can't really talk about jumping the shark in WoW anyway, as far as this sort of thing goes. It's not since... you were able to be, what is it, basically you could be a dog with wearing a top hat.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
The riding top a hat lizard. Is the best feat
I'm not
ever.
I'm not criticizing the top hat, but it gives you a fairly, how can I put this without making myself sound like a complete git?
You mean
it gives you a fairly low baseline.
Oh, it does. That's right. They've got a lot more leeway than Star Wars does.
Panda has kites. You ride around on a kite. Like,
I'm just worried that BioWare do listen to this podcast because I reckon by the end of the year, if they have, that we're going to end up with a jumping shark mount in Star Wars The Old Republic.
I'd buy that.
Yeah, just for the look of it. Yeah. A space shark. Now we're talking. Now let's segue. One last thing on Star Wars The Old Republic is about it not doing too badly as far as the MMO market and how much money it's bringing in. So I know, Simon, you did all the hard work and actually found the graphic. But I'll just
I did all the hard work. I copy-pasted two graphics, yes.
So
I'm expiring here.
Top 10 online games by free-to-play earnings. So that obviously... Well, why is World of Warcraft in
That's
there?
What I'm trying to work out. When they say World of Warcraft earnings, are they talking about, say, just the cash shop earnings, or are they talking about all earnings, including the the subscriptions because yeah.
Okay, so the information that we're talking about here is information collated by Superdata.
Yeah.
And if you actually want to get any of their reports, you basically have to pay for them.
Yeah.
Which we didn't because we have no operating budget.
No.
But basically,
we have an operating debt.
Yes, yes, we have that. But basically, what we're talking about here is free-to-play earnings, so it's excluding subscriptions.
Yeah, okay.
So it's just cash store, basically.
Because I'd be worried if World of Warcraft was only one above Star Wars if it included subscriptions.
I must admit, $213 million did seem a little low when you consider that there's, like, what, 10 million active subscriptions at the moment or whatever. And I must admit, I've probably spent about $200 on their cash shop alone. Yeah. Sorry. I know. I'm bad.
So let's do the top 10. So for those of us that aren't looking at it now as we speak. So coming in at number one, bringing in $957 million during 2013 is Crossfire, which I'm going to pretend I'm all au fait with this because I Googled it just before we came on, is a military shooter that looks pretty bloody basic, and it's a
blatant Counter-Strike ripoff.
Yeah. So it's the number one online game by free-to-play earnings. So I think, Simon, you mentioned it's pretty much pay to win, which would explain the huge revenues.
Yeah. So basically Crossfire is extremely popular in the Southeast Asia market. The companies behind it are Tencent. If you haven't heard of Tencent, Google it, you're in for a shock. And Smilegate, which is a Korean studio. It is effectively a knockoff of Counter-Strike. The difference is that the cash store enables you to pretty much just pay real money to get ahead. It is literally a pay-to-win game.
Yeah.
Having said that, it's enormously popular and it's phenomenally profitable. Mm. So $957 million.
That's what I was thinking. Compare it to League of Legends, which is number two, which I thought would be number one. I'm pretty sure everywhere you read it says League of Legends is number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when League of Legends is getting $624 million, that's $333 million from the top of my head more. And to put that into perspective, that's like WoW and Star Wars combined. And that's how much above number two they are getting. That's ridiculous money. Yep. That's the sort of money I wish was in my bank account.
Oh yeah.
But League of Legends has been extremely assiduous in avoiding any pay to win.
That's right. Yeah.
At all. They don't do that. That is not what Riot's about. So, yeah, I mean, Tencent's a backer of Riot, but Tencent isn't basically a backer, but they don't have voting rights. So, really, in a way, I suppose you could look on this as being a distinction between the East and West mentality as far as this sort of game goes.
Yeah,
League of Legends is really hardcore as far as not being pay to win.
Yes.
You can buy all the crap you like, but it's not going to give you a strategic advantage. So that's probably the big takeaway from this diagram. I mean, you look at the rest of them, and we've got Dungeon Fighter Online. I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
World of
have.
Tanks. That's an awesome game. What do you know about Dungeon Fighter?
Dungeon Fighter Online's been around a few years. I don't know that much. I read an article in depth on it a couple of years back, but I have a feeling it's another very popular Asian, but also very cheap. The free-to-play stuff's quite cheap, so I just know there's a lot of people that play it. It's come in the top three for a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, I suspect that some of the games we're looking at here are probably the sorts of games that you see popping up in the adverts when you're on the Pirate Bay.
Yes, that's right.
Not that,
oh, really?
Because
I just get the boobs.
See, why don't we get the... Anyway, World of Tanks.
I get the boobs. I'm just not interested in them. And then we got World of Tanks.
Yep.
Good friends and good real-life boobage provided at PAX Oz. at least for the first day, until they got told to cover up.
Yes. Thank you, Pax. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Pax. That was good.
Especially because the girls actually looked so much more attractive on the Saturday when they were covered up compared to the Friday.
Really?
Skin does not equal pretty. Sorry, really? Guys. Yep. No, what? When it comes to sexual attraction towards women, I prefer my women to leave a little bit to the imagination.
Yeah. What? Who are you?
And then Underworld of Tanks, which is dropped a couple of spots.
Underworld of Tanks. That's an interesting What is that, like Mafia Tanks?
Mafia Tanks.
There could be a game there, yeah. Look.
It could be, there could be.
Maple Story, which has been around, it's been around a lot of years from memory.
Oh, I like Maple Story. Yeah. And Lineage.
Lineage 1, World of Warcraft at 7, SWTOR at number 8 at $139 million in revenue from the Cartel store. Team Fortress 2, no big surprise there. And then Counter-Strike Online at number 10, which that's obviously been around rather a long while as well.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing is Team Fortress 2 and Counter-Strike, both mods effectively of Half-Life.
Yes.
And both old. So, yeah, I mean, 139 million is nothing to sneeze at. That's a pretty decent chunk of cash. But then you look at what's around it, and it sort of gives it a little bit more perspective, a little bit more context. The fact that Counter-Strike Online is getting 121 million and Team Fortress 2 is getting 139, the same as SWTOR is.
I'd like to see the breakdown of TF2 on exactly where that 139 million comes from, because I think it'd be quite interesting. You know, because Steam has all the trading and everything like that going on, so it's kind of a real life auction house, so to speak. I'd like to see where those figures came from, but I mean,
this is my ignorance. I played Team Fortress 2, I think, half a dozen times. What do you buy in there?
Hats.
Yeah, I was going to say, but just cosmetic stuff.
If you ask the internet, it's hats.
Yeah. 15-buck hats.
You can buy weapons and stuff like that, which
are just mods of the same stats or whatever.
They do have different things to them. But Team Fortress 2 also, Valve loves to give away free stuff. And, I mean, I remember when Rift came out, I actually brought a copy for my then boyfriend for his Steam, purely because if you brought a copy for his Steam, you got two TF2 weapons. And one of them was like a machete thing they gave to the scout, and it put like people caught on fire. No, it was an axe, was it? Maybe it was an axe with pyro. Something, anyway, something that you put people on fire. So these items do have differences than the normal standard ones you have. But yeah, it's TF2, so nothing's uber. It's just kind of more situational. So yeah.
But I think that touches on a interesting point is I think a lot of these games have realized when you get away from the crossfire side of things is that people are willing to pay real money to customize their characters, to cosmetically customize their characters, not even to buy the super sort of superness. It's just a matter of I've got a hat you don't have. My tabard is different to yours. Customization and identifying with the character, with your avatar, and that's a sort of a Sanskrit Hindi term, I believe, when you get into it. It's something that there's a lot of emotional investment, and where there's emotional investment, there's a dollar investment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's really where this is starting to come into it.
And this is where, I mean, that's why I know a lot of people look down their nose at it, but that's why Second Life is still a viable virtual world 10 years, because it takes it to the nth degree that, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of customization options for whoever creates new fashion, you can sell it and wear it. So, yeah, you're not wrong. And a nice segue as far as those top 10 is the percentage of free-to-play revenue versus proportion of overall. So in US terms, so US digital sales across 2013, I'm pretty sure that's talking about, is $1.03 billion,
mm-hmm.
of which $644 million, so 64% roughly of that revenue comes from free-to-play revenue, with 330% yeah. coming from digital console and PC gaming, and a measly 82 million, so 0.8%, if I'm doing my... No, sorry, 8%, 8.2% coming from MMOs.
Yeah. Pay-to-play MMOs, 8.2% of the total take.
Oh, this is
Is this the future, guys?
Of the podcast? We need to... All right, so well, we're announcing that now, are we? No more MMOs.
No, I mean, this... It really gives you a good sense of the future. The free-to-play is what? It's my brain's not working.
64% of the market.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. What the smart guy said with the numbers. Yeah. It's a big chunk of the pie. Yeah, of it's almost three-quarters of the freaking pie.
Yeah, well, or two-thirds if you want to be accurate.
We've seen it
all the time where... MMOs, they drop the subscription at a cash store and they sell cosmetics like Rift and they start making Uber money. So I think subscriptions really are, I mean, some games will still continue. I think games like EVE Online will continue to have subscriptions simply because the training is real time. You know, it's if you don't pay your sub for a month, you're losing a month's worth of training, which is, that's a lot of skill points in that month. So you're going to keep paying the subscription just to, even though I know many people who have accounts that they rarely play, but they keep the sub going simply to play, to keep the skill training going. While a game like, you know, Star Wars or WoW or whatever, if you drop for the month and come back later, you're not losing anything. You can just pick up where you went from and it's no big deal.
Yeah, and with EVE, let's face it, you miss one payment on Space Station rent, and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose.
Yes.
So, yeah.
But I'd like to see EVE Online, their Plex sales revenue versus their sub revenue, because I reckon they make a tidy sum from Plexes.
Oh, they would.
And, I mean, Plex is, even though it's worth a month in-game, it's $20 versus $15. So, you know, they're adding $5 on top of the sub just to... for the ability to sell it in games. So, I mean, that's $5 that's going straight to their coffins.
Or their coffers.
Coffins? Coffers. Yeah, I was going to say.
Their coffers.
How many glasses of wine have I had tonight?
But just to go back to the $644 million, I'm assuming, and we can't see the report, that includes all your mobile free-to-play stuff. So, for example, God forbid, Candy Crush.
Well, I was going to say probably Facebook games are probably included in that.
Yeah, so...
It possibly does, but in a way that doesn't really matter
because it really comes down to
what do people want, what do they want to play, what are they willing to pay.
And I'd argue that it's those games that have led to that growth, not so much the ones we usually talk about. So, I mean, I've got a friend, he's not a rabid gamer, but on his phone, and I play it to King's Empire. It's just a dicky little... you know, castle building, defend your castle, build your troops.
Yeah, so I think we all know that one.
Yeah, it's you know, we've all done it.
We've all come across that in the App Store or the Google Store.
Yeah, and he spent, I think, close to $400 on that in the last year.
Wow.
And he's on the lower end of scale. I mean, I played it for a year, and by principle, I refuse to spend a cent. So I'm way behind, but. Yeah, that's where the money's coming from. And the amount of time... I mean, I know people in my family that have paid their 99 cents to progress to the next stage of Candy Crush rather than having to worry about finding three people to let them through.
I can tell you right now from my own perspective that if an MMO has a cash store, I will spend more money in that cash store than I do on subs, even... Or maybe not WoW because of simply how long it's been going on. But I can tell you I've spent more money in Star Wars than I have on subs in their cash store, Rift in their cash store instead of subs. I will play a game, like I'll go back to an MMO And I will spend like $100 in the cash store just because I can, you know, and then I might only play for 2 weeks and then I'll stop playing for 6 months. I'll come back and I'll throw another $100 onto the cash store. And I mean, if I was paying a sub for that, that's not $100 for 6 months, I can tell you that. So
If I pretend this podcast is a free-to-play MMO, are you likely to sink a few hundred bucks into it every couple of months?
Well, it depends. Do I get a cool mount?
Yeah. Oh, well, no. Oh, yeah, I'm not going there.
I mean,
do I get some pretty
hang on. I need to burn an image out of my head here.
I wasn't meaning me necessarily. I'm just saying, I'm thinking, who can I ship in the mail?
It won't go away, David. It won't go away.
You're welcome.
I am redder than my hair right now.
I'm happy to make a Lego, you know, make a mount of your specification out of Lego and mail it to you if you sink a couple hundred dollars into it.
That's really not helping, and there's a whole chafing issue involved in that.
Yes.
So moving right along.
Yeah, see, I was trying to move back to normal. You just brought it
you
back
failed.
Down.
You failed.
And you're the one who came up with jugs and pubes. You've got no credibility on this issue whatsoever. Now,
no credibility on anything at
that's
all.
That's true. Neither do I.
No. Okay.
So while you've been talking, Eve, briefly, Christy, did you want to do a brief, you know, how you're finding it, what you've learnt new since last time you played, or have we talked, Eve?
I can stop laughing for 5 minutes.
That's all right.
It's kind of funny because I actually packed up all my Lego today. But anyway.
What did you make, Christy?
Onto the topic of Eve Online, which is kind of Lego-y as it is. Actually, that'd be kind of cool. I wish I'd make Lego ships. All the ships. I noticed on Reddit they had this guy who cross-stitched some, like the Bonatti symbol, and he got all these upvotes. And I'm like, oh, my God, I made cross-stitched cushions of Eve ships years ago.
Photos.
I could have got all those upvotes for, you know, because internet points matter. But anyway, we're talking about internet spaceships now. So Eve Online, yeah, it's going well. I've subscribed for 6 months, the bastards, and I actually contacted CCP and got an old account back. Because unfortunately, when you log in from an IP address you've never used before, it asks for your username, your password, and then it asks for a character name. And while I can remember my username and my password, I had no idea what my character was called. But CCP were lovely. I answered as many questions as I could, and they got back to me 2 days later and said, yep, this is your character name. So then I was able to log in and get my account back. So I got my miner back. She's pretty cool. Completely lost how to do ice mining, though. I'm going to have to relearn that one. But on my actual main account, I guess you could say, I found a corp. They're pretty cool. They're never online. I don't think I've ever seen one of them online, so it's kind of like my own little corp.
Nice.
yeah. They're like, hey, we do stuff on the weekends. I'm like, really? Because I've been logged in all weekend and none of you have come on. But, yeah, I've been running level 2 missions with my little cruiser. I've been doing Sister of Eve stuff. I'm trying to get up not only the reps so I can get onto level 4s, but also loyalty points because with loyalty points. So when you do a mission with anyone, you get rep with them and you get loyalty points. And the loyalty points are then able to shop in there. These are the only items you can get with this faction when you can only get them through loyalty points. But since Eve is a free trade game, you can actually just buy it anyway. But I figure life, you know, you should actually play a game instead of just buying everything. So I'm saving up to buy some probe launchers because I want to get it back into wormholes. Oh, I miss wormholes. And now
so
I'm probably thinking I've completely lost you guys.
No, we're just back in that territory again.
Jugs, pubes and wormholes. Can we use that as the title for the show?
And it was something about launches or
something.
Oh,
no, it's just something that you've described all three of us, but which one's which? Right. Wait, let me have another sip of wine here.
Nice.
A glass sip.
No, I'm glad you enjoy it. I mean, you just may increasing my temptation to want to jump in and have a go, but I'm just going to claim time.
Oh, yeah. See, the boyfriend seemed to ask me about it, and I'm like, no, don't come play it. I want to play this one by myself.
Yeah, there you go. I can understand that.
But, yeah, this is one of the funny things I find about EVE Online and when people talk about A, the difficulty level, and B, the time, because personally I think EVE Online is one of the best games when it comes to time management. I've been packing all weekend, so essentially I run a few missions and then I pack and I stay logged in and then I come back and I run a mission whenever I'm bored or trying to get, you know, something to do, and then I pack. And well, if I was playing an MMO, I'd always kind of feel like you're always in the middle of something. Yeah. Like you do a mission, you come back to the station. It doesn't matter what you do in the station, you're completely safe.
Yeah.
So, but like with like say you're playing WoW or Star Wars, you always kind of, it's quest hub to quest hub, which takes a lot longer, and it sort of keeps you in the game a lot longer, and especially if it's an open PvP game. Like I certainly wouldn't I did kind of have to fly my character like 18 jumps, and I did autopilot it. So for those who haven't played EVE, when you're traveling, you can manually do it. So you jump into a system, and then you right-click and jump to the next system, right-click, jump to the next system, which is the fastest way to do it. But obviously it means you have to babysit your character, and you could be sometimes traveling for over half an hour. Or you can go autopilot. And autopilot, the computer will take over and jump for you. But when you warp to the next jump point, it will actually warp you 15 kilometers out of the gate, and then you like slowly creep towards the gate before you can jump, which means you are vulnerable to other players for that 15 kilometer period. So obviously if you're in a freighter with lots and lots of money in your cargo, you're not going to want to do that option. But if you're in a little cruiser or something like that, then nobody's really going to bother you. But with EVE, it's always risk versus reward. You know, I didn't want to spend 45 minutes sitting at my computer, right click jump. So I did autopilot, and thankfully nobody gave a crap. But yeah, I tell you what, because we just hit some. I was actually online, and I've kind of been running missions while we're doing this podcast. But 7 p.m. has hit here, and the servers have just gone down. So that's still a frustrating annoyance that I really, really hate. But some people like David from Twitter, or Kazmaz or whatever his name is, who I promise I'd do a shout out for, because he was actually messaging me on EVE during this whole podcast. So thank you for distracting me.
Bastard.
Kazmaz is good for that.
But yeah, he actually enjoys the shutdown because he comes back later in the evening for us, which is about anywhere between 7 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. because the downtime changes each day. But he comes back and all the mineral nodes have popped back up. So he enjoys it. I get frustrated and he loves it. And well, because it's me, I win. So
exactly. There you go. EVE Roundup. Yeah, I want to play it, but I'm going to avoid it another fortnight.
I can get Mondays if you want.
No, I've got to avoid. Yes. Must avoid.
There are other temptations out there, like, Landmark is a temptation, perhaps.
Wildfire.
Or Minecraft, or Firestar, or the Elder Scrolls Online, or WildStar, or Wild Turkey, or Wildfire, or whatever the hell Turkey I decide to call it at that particular moment.
I thought I already explained that WildStar is completely gone, completely ignored.
You haven't actually mentioned it anymore. What's that? You haven't specified why WildStar is persona non grata for you.
Well, can we do it in context of this feedback? Because we got two pieces of feedback that might work into quite nicely.
I'm waiting for you to read this out.
All right. So Sean Albright, thank you, Sean, is the first person that kindly sent us an email since last podcast. When you say, I did read it through. Is there something you're hoping I trip up on?
I just know that I would get maybe two sentences in before I'm like, bleh.
Oh, no.
Which is my speaking, not your Sean's writing.
David, I don't have to hope that you'll trip up. I know you shall trip up.
Absolutely. And that's from something.
Sometimes I wonder if OD1 is kind of part.
Don't mention that shitty robot and his questionable interior decor skills.
Exactly. All right, Sean, thank you for your email, and I'm going to read it out in full. I recently listened to your podcast where you had a small discussion about the Elder Scrolls Online. I thought I would write you and give you a more positive perspective on it. The NDA is somewhat lifted now, although I don't think I'll be straying too far into NDA territory. I've had the opportunity to play in the last three beta weekends and thoroughly enjoyed the experience. You mentioned the leaked beta footage from quite a few months back that showed the game to be very ugly. It was later discovered that that particular gamer had already decided prior to playing the beta that he did not like the game or want to promote it, so he played and recorded the video in the lowest, crappiest settings possible in order to put it in as negative a light as possible.
Bastard.
Yeah. So, because it did look ugly. This is normal for the internet, I guess. I can tell you that on my system, the game looks and plays fantastic. The environments are gorgeous and the animation is quite good. That being said, all isn't rosy. The first five or six levels of the game, which amounts to the starting island, is quite boring. After that, though, the game opens up and becomes very fun. It's trying to create a happy balance between MMO and the single-player Elder Scrolls games, and I think it's doing quite a good job. Is it perfect? By no means is it. It has bugs, and like I stated earlier, the starting zones sort of suck, but it is fun after that and shouldn't be ignored. I noticed a few mainstream sites have stated that they are worried about the game. PC Gamer, for example, said this in a video podcast. They also stated that they'd only played to about level 5. You'll see that most sites that have been more or less negative on it have done the same. Do you see where I'm going with this now? I'm not knocking PC Game or any other site for this because the starting zones are really disappointing, but after that it is really quite good. More time just needs to be given to make a serious opinion of it is all I have to say. Anyway, just thought I'd give you a more or less positive view. You all are great, particularly David. Actually, yeah, that bit wasn't in it. I look forward to every episode of Flashpoint. Keep up the good work. Your Vancouver, Washington, US fan. So, I mean, there's some great points in there. And, I mean, I know my opinions are very much based on that footage because I haven't got involved. I think I've now signed up. I've registered my details for it at least anyway. But beyond that, so, and I think like most beaters, once you get past those first five or six levels, they do tend to improve.
See, now that I found quite interesting because normally the starting, it's a bit like the example of why when you sign up to a game, how you put an email address in now instead of a username. The reason this mainly happened was not just for security reasons, but because it's already been proven that people will only attempt to add a username in 3 times. If they can't find a username within 3 attempts, they won't bother signing in. That's why they brought in email addresses, because the chances of your email address previously being used is pretty much non-existent. And even if it is, when you enter the second one, you know, it's going to work. So that's why a lot of games suddenly swapped to email addresses a few years back. Now, when it comes to the starting zones, it's the same deal with MMOs. People in playing MMOs normally pay for less than an hour before they decide whether or not they're going to play more. And so starting zones, you can normally tell, not only are they trying to teach you what they're trying to do, but they're also selling you the game. They're really trying to say, hey, look how pretty it is. Look how awesome your character kind of looks, excluding WoW here we're talking about. You know, they're trying to sell you the game so much in those starting zones. And it's really kind of interesting that Elder Scrolls, you know, because they're going to lose a lot of people. I mean, these people are writing reviews based on the first 5 levels, which is completely normal for MMOs. So I know when Ion came out, a lot of people were writing about it and talking about it who hadn't even got to level 9 yet and actually ascended and got their wings. Like the whole premise they were selling of the game was the fact that you could fly and yet the first 9 levels you can't. But a lot of people were writing about their thoughts on the game within that starting zone when you can't actually fly, where you can't do the big selling point of the game. So, yeah, interesting that they kind of didn't focus so much on selling the game within that first beginning area as well as normal, well, what you see MMOs normally doing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they do improve on that. But Simon, any thoughts?
I have many thoughts.
Good. All right, let's move on to the next
one. No. apart from the fact that that was actually true, as far as this Tasso went, I have to admit, I didn't really play Morrowind. I started playing Oblivion and really got frustrated with it because invariably I seem to end up locked in huts trying to charm some piece of shit NPC that I really didn't give a crap about. And I mean, I can't even relate to people in real life. So how am I supposed to relate to a character in a game? Anyway, Oblivion didn't really. I bought Skyrim in the Steam sale. Still have yet to actually play the game. So when I played the Tesso beta, I really didn't have any expectations apart from that horrible wheel in Oblivion where you have to interact with characters, and I always end up cocking that up oddly like real life, in all honesty. I really liked what I saw in Tesso. I only got to level 5, I think, in the beta because I was only on there for one weekend. But I liked it. The game looked beautiful. The initial bit where I'm not going to say what you're doing is very linear, but it does what it needs to do. And then the world opens up a bit. And I liked what I saw. I didn't feel constrained or claustrophobic like I did in SWTOR when I first started playing. I could not only felt the walls, I could see the walls on the Origin Worlds. It was just bad level design. In Tesso, it feels a lot more open. I like what I saw. To be perfectly honest, when I first saw the Imperial pack, the collector's edition, when that came up, I pre-ordered that at EB, and after the beta weekend, I saw no reason to cancel that. I think Tesso is going to be a good game.
Okay,
what I experienced in it, I liked. I want to go back.
Good.
So, yes, there's been a lot of negative crap from PC Gamer, Eurogamer, a lot of the sites. There's been a fairly uniformly negative reaction to it. I don't think that is entirely justified. I think the game's got legs. I think ZeniMax has done a pretty good job with it. And I look forward to seeing the finished product. I liked what I saw. I really didn't see that much in the way of bugs. There is one, and you'll probably see this on YouTube, where your character will sort of seem to fly across the landscape randomly. That happened to me once, but I ended up back pretty much exactly where I started from. So that wasn't and it's a beta. It's a beta, people. So let everyone just breathe deeply and move on. I think the finished product is going to be. I think the finished product will be pretty good.
Good.
And I think people just need to give it a chance and not react to Reddit threads and slightly hysterical reactions across the board in the gaming media. I'm not saying that it's not justified. I'm not saying that their reasoning wasn't sound. But I will say that you need to give these sorts of things a try yourself. You cannot rely on the gaming media. Having said that, Good Game was actually very positive about it. So, I mean, there are a variety of reactions out there. Ultimately, you can try and distill it down and work out, well, okay, well, if you want to spreadsheet the thing, go with it. But my gut reaction is that Tesso's worth a try. Is it going to be another successful subscription game? I don't honestly know whether such a thing even exists anymore. I don't know whether you can have a game that will be able to stay a subscription for any period of time or whether it'll just end up going free to play. I think that's anyone that goes for a subscription model now, that's the first cry that's going to come up is, oh, it's going to go free to play in the first 3 months. It's going to go free to play in the first 6 months. It probably will go free to play. In all honesty, WildStar probably will go free to play as well. I think any game that looks for a subscription to anchor itself to a subscription model now is probably not really going with the current thinking, and is probably going with the thinking that was prevalent at the time the game was initially proposed.
And you're aligning yourself to 8.2% of the market versus 64%.
Right. Exactly.
So, good point. Well, let's move on to our second email, which was from Timo, who, Timo, I wasn't stalking you, but just based on the IP address you emailed in, I'm guessing you're from the UK, because I just like to say where people are from. So Timo writes, was pointed at your podcast by the lovely, brilliant T.O. on Utinicast. I added the lovely and brilliant a while ago and have really enjoyed it since. You've got a lack of patience for bullshit that doesn't degenerate into knee-jerk negativity. I agree with the first bit, not so sure on the second bit. I think we do plenty of knee-jerk negativity. I was
first... Isn't the Elder Scrolls stuff pretty besides Simon stuff, you and I?
I was spurred to write by Simon's comments on The Elder Scrolls Online. Star Wars The Old Republic has been my main game since its launch, but I'm pretty much done with that now and I'm just holding on for TESO. I was in the last two betas and thought it was the most engaging game I've played in years. It's trying to do things differently from the WoW template, while the world and story have more depth than pretty much any similar MMO. Don't talk to me about midichlorians. There were beta bugs, but nothing you'd expect not to get ironed out. There does seem to be an unholy alliance of single-player Skyrimites, other MMO zealots and free-to-play cheapskates who want to bitch about it, such that there's quite a swirl of bad propaganda. Contrast with WildStar, which I hear mainly good things about. Maybe that's a result of PR strategy or lack of such. Total NDA until the weekend versus booze and free holidays for fan sites. Yeah, well, that probably sums up WildStar from what Joe was saying. Anyway, after a bit of play, I reckon Simon's hunch is decent. Tell Christy she can play as a flame-throwing evil cat and PvP at end game without having to reach max level. Good luck with the podcast. You're always entertaining and deserve a big audience. So thank you, Timo.
Oh, I'm sold. If I can play as a flaming-throwing evil cat.
What a knowledgeable gentleman he is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's where I should say I wrote that in and pretended I was Timo. And I hope I'm pronouncing your name okay, Timo. I went to school with a Timo spelt the same, so I'm assuming that's how it's pronounced. Apologies if not. But, yeah, some good points in there again. I mean, both saying it's an engaging game. So, I mean, that's convinced me to definitely give it a good go. And worst case, it'll be like Guild Wars 2. I'll love it for a week and then piss it off.
I think there's actually a lot more going on in TESO than Guild Wars.
Agreed.
One of the things I did see a comment on was someone complaining that there was a public event going on, but it wasn't on the beaten track. It was actually kind of difficult to find. And they were saying that if you want people to play public events, then you need to put them in more trafficked areas. But I actually like the fact that TESO have not done that. Yeah. They've actually stuck it out somewhere for someone to find and to get guildies or friends or whatever. Hey, guys, I found this thing. It's no one else seems to know it's here. How about you give me a hand with it? I mean, that's what exploration is about. Right. That's what an open world is about, is you – things aren't signposted. That's the whole point of a sandbox, or something that looks like a sandbox game, is it's not linear. You don't have to just follow the path, follow the yellow brick road, and that munchkin will do that, and that munchkin will do that, and those munchkins are doing each other behind the magic mushroom, and you don't talk about that. But I think ZeniMax have actually got the right approach here, because that was the thing about Skyrim, was that it was a big world and you went out there and you found stuff. And I think you find stuff in TESO as well.
Yes, yeah, like that's kind of like Eve exploration versus Guild Wars 2 exploration. Like in Eve, when I played 4 years ago, I was massive on the exploration. I trained up all my skills in scanning. I would be able to scan down a player or a wormhole or anything else very, very quickly. And the thing is that Eve has massive amount of lore, like massive, massive amount. And I'll just do a shout out because I have pre-ordered the Eve source book, which is a 200-page awesome graphics and also includes a lot of the lore. But the thing is like you never hear people talk about Eve, they talk about the lore, because the lore you have to go and find. You have to scan down these archaeological sites and things like that. They're not there for you to walk into. And that was like when people talk to me about Guild Wars 2 and, oh my God, I found this just by walking over here. And I'm like, well, what's that going to do with the price of fish? I spent a month training up these probes and I spent 3 hours scanning down this site and I found this massive, amazing anomaly out in space, which no one else would be able to find unless they go through the exact same process I do, unless I bookmark it and give people that bookmark. And you just walked over there? Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Be like that.
That is a really, really good point. It's like playing something in God mode. Yeah, it's kind of cool for the first few minutes, but then if everything's so easy to come by, where's the value?
Yeah, exactly.
Where's the satisfaction?
I think we're all in violent agreement there.
Oh, my God, that never happens.
No, that never happens. So, again, thank you, Timo and Sean. So, God, I don't know that we can go up from here. I can only go back downhill as far as 2 brilliant emails in 1 week. But if for some reason you are listening and we'd love emails about debating points with MMOs or whatever the hell else you want, we're not fussy. Anything else from either of you before we wrap it up? Because we're well over the hour again. Simon, nothing?
I was going to say, we're going to forget
If you're not watching Helix, watch Helix.
Based on your recommendation, I've watched – you've reminded me I need to get the last – I think I've watched the first – what's it up to now?
Is
it finished? Is Helix finished now?
No, it's episode 8, so I need just screen.
Yeah, I've watched up to five or six. I don't know. It shits me, to be honest, but I'm going to watch it just so I can see the end of the story.
Yeah, keep going with it. Stick with it.
I hate the lead character, to be honest. He's too.
Which lead character?
Oh, the lead bloke, the lead scientist from the infectious CDC.
That was like when I watched, I think it's called The Bridge or something like that. It's like a crime show that's kind of based on the sort of Mexican-American border. But the two main characters was like, she was so much the stereotypical female, anti-social, doesn't understand, I guess, you know, social cues, blah, blah, blah.
She's got Asperger's.
Yeah. And he was a stereotypical Mexican trying to fight the corrupt, you know, and I was just like, my work colleague had suggested it to me and I tried so hard, but the show was good if you could get past all that stereotypical character. Like,
well, it's no, been like me. Try,
do it.
You could try the UK version called The Tunnel. But no, seriously.
Oh, really?
That does exist. That does exist.
Anyway, yeah. Well, do you watch Helix? I know Gail has tried to watch it and it shat her too. But I mean, it's. I don't mind it. I don't mind the tension in it. It's just there's a bit of stereotype. I mean, Mr. Miyagi, the evil, you know, overlord stereotype.
That's not his name.
Yeah. No, but that's making the point. Is it was a bit. The whole thing's a bit stereotypical as far as him being the alleged villain. Or maybe he doesn't end up being the villain. I haven't got that far. But, yeah, anyway, it's a valid...
Is he, David? Is he?
Well, that's what I said. I don't know. Maybe he's not by the end of it. I know he's a bit torn with some things. So, yeah, we'll see.
But anyway, the more important information is that starting in March, Netflix have got are going to be basically dropping the entirety of season 6 of The Clone Wars on their service. So if you've got access to US Netflix through various proxies or other tomfoolery, you will be able to watch the lost episode, so to speak, and find out where the story arc on The Clone Wars was going.
I think it ends up with a lucky 77 speeder. That's my best guess.
I'm sorry, that was completely not that funny. But...
No, I know. I'm good at flogging a dead horse. Chrissy, was there anything you wanted to add before we wrap it?
Well, I don't know. Do you want to hear about WildStar and what happened? Or
I've on
are we happy? No.
Can we do that next week?
Next we can episode? Do it.
Sorry, that's
never
my
when
fault.
You want.
Yeah, because we're running over a little bit. So unless you think it's timely, in which case, jump in right now.
No, I would prefer not to talk about it.
All right, cool.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it was. I would have to say a lot of nasty things, and
right.
as much as I like to say that I'm evil, like I really don't feel I can say such nasty things in a public.
All right. Thing. Muse on it for the next fortnight and. Get nasty next episode 74.
No.
I don't have a lot else to add either. Just while we're on TV shows, I'm, you know, Walking Dead's back, yay, and kicking ass. House of Cards season 2 has been released in its entirety. If you haven't watched House of Cards season 1, then do that first bit. It's the best show in the politics vein since The West Wing, in my opinion. It's brilliant. And, yeah, watching Helix, god damn it. And I think that's about it, really. So let's wrap it. So as always, if you'd like to offer an opinion suggestion like the wonderful Timo and Sean, feel free to email us at contact@oceanicgamer.com or visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheOceanicGamer. We're also all on Twitter. My handle's The Oceanic Gamer. Christie's is Evil Flaming Cat, and Simon tweets under RPG Beats RL.
Or maybe I tweet under Shuhei Yoshida. That's also the possibility.
Who's that?
Oh, David.
Yeah, I know nothing. I thought you learned that might have been Mr. Miyagi in Helix. You'll find you'll find previous episodes of the show on iTunes, and we're also on Stitcher. Thanks very much for listening, as always, and thank you to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, have a great weekend, and remember, if your pug wipes, it's probably because one of us was in it. Good night.
Bye.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.